welcome in here to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. We're glad to have you aboard. And we got a great message, part two, of the mystery element of the Godhead concerning the Father. Did you know that the early church councils, way back when, starting with the Nicaea Creed of 325 A.D., had a definition written up, and it's called the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of his Father, and the substance of the Father, the God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Oh, isn't that strange? Begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom are all things, oh, and all things that were made, both which are in heaven and in earth, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate and was made man. He suffered, and the third day he arose again and ascended into heaven. And we shall see him come again to judge both the quick and the dead. And we believe in the Holy Ghost, that whosoever shall say that there was a time when the Son of God was not, or before he was begotten he was not, or that he was made of things that were not, or that he is a different substance or essence from the Father, or that he is a creature, or subject to change, or conversion, all that we say, the Catholic and Apostolic Church anathemizes them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 325 A.D. Nicaea Council of men gathered to proclaim the oneness of the Godhead. Now, in the Chalcedon definition of the council, and this council was organized in 451 A.D. Listen to this one now. Basically the same, but quite a few different words. Therefore, followers and the following of the Holy Fathers, we all with one accord teach men to acknowledge one and the same, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at one, complete in the Godhead and complete in manhood, truly God and truly man, consisting also of a reasonable soul and body, of one substance with the Father as regards to his Godhead, and at the same time of one substance with us as regards to his manhood, with all of us in all respects, apart from sin as regard to his Godhead, begotten of the Father before the ages, but yet as regards of his manhood, begotten and a bear, the one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, recognized in two natures, without confusion, without change, without division, without separation, the distinction of natures being in no way annulled by the union, but rather the characteristics of each nature being preserved and coming together to form one person and substance, not as parted or separated into two, but one and the same. Son, the only begotten God, the Word, Lord Jesus Christ, even as the prophets from earliest times spoke of him, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us, and the creed of our fathers has handed down to us, referring to the 325 A.D. Now, notice this one that was in 553, just a little bit later down the road in history, the Second Council of Constantinople, the original birthplace of the Catholic Church. Number one, if anyone does not confess that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are of one nature or essence of the same substance, one power and authority, worshipped as a trinity of the same essence, one deity in three hypostases or persons, let him be anathema. For there is one God and Father of whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and one Holy Spirit, in whom are all things. If anyone does not confess that God the Word was twice begotten, the first before all time, before the Father, none temporal and bodiness, the other in the last days when he came down from the heavens and was incarnate by the holy, glorious God-bearer, ever Virgin Mary, and born of her, let him be anathema. 3. If anyone says that the Word, the God, the Word, who performed miracles, is one and Christ who is suffered is another, in other words, suffered, or says that the Word of God was together with Christ who came from woman, or that the Word was in him as one person as in another, but is not of the same, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate and become human, and that the wonders and the suffering that he voluntarily endured in flesh were not of the same person, let him be anathema. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the teaching of the church, the Christian church. If anyone says, part 4 of the council, 500 A.D., if anyone says that the union of the Word of God with man was only according to grace or function or dignity or equality of honor or authority of relation or effect of power, or according to his good pleasure, as though the Word of God was pleased with man, or proved in him as the enemy might say, or that the union would exist accordingly to similar of name, by which the Nestorians call God the Word, Jesus the Christ, designating the man separately as Christ and as Son, speaking thus clearly of two persons, then let his honor and dignity and worship pretend to say that there is one person, one Son, and one Christ by a single destination. And if he does not acknowledge, as the Holy Father has taught, that the union of God is made with flesh, animated by a reasonable and intelligent soul, and that such union is according to the reckoning of this council, let therefore that person that denies the oneness of the Godhead, let them be confused and separated from the Church of the Union of the Holy God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If anyone says that the Holy Ghost, ever Virgin Mary, is called God-bearer by misuse of language, and not truly or by analogy believing that only a mere man was born of her, and that God the Word was not incarnate of her, but the incarnation of God the Word resulted only from the fact that he united himself to the man who was born of her. If anyone slanders the Holy Synod of this council as though it has asserted that the Virgin or to be God-bearer according to the impious sense of Theodore or anyone shall call her man-bearer or Christ-bearer as if Christ were not God, and shall not confess that she is truly a God-bearer. Listen to this now, ladies and gentlemen. A God-bearer. God-beared into the world through a woman, because God the Word, who before all time was begotten of the Father, was in the last days incarnate of her. And if anyone shall not confess that this pious sense of a holy synod of the Chalcedon confessed of her to be God-bearer, if they refuse to confess that, let them be anathema. Oh, my. ladies and gentlemen, should we have any doubts about what they believe to be in the council? That were three of these now. I've read you three of these to be presented that they themselves are arguing. This is not my argument, ladies and gentlemen, as much as it is the argument of the early church that has confessed that this being is God. Now, let's go into the scriptures again and pick up the Father, the mystery element of the Godhead. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand the oneness of the Godhead, you are of all men most miserable if you believe that there's two separate individuals, like God the person and the Son the person, not understanding the relationship between God and man. As Christ cried aloud in John 12:44, listen to what he said. Whosoever believes in me, that's the Son talking now, the flesh man. Whosoever believes in me believes not in me. Now, what a strange statement. No wonder the Pharisees jumped his bones about that. No wonder that they didn't understand his speech. Did you know that the secret understanding of the Godhead is reserved exclusively for those who have received the anointing of truth? The world can't receive it, but to them that would humble themselves and come under the influence and drink from the cistern that holds the refreshing water of oneness, the Messiah Jesus in the King James, Yahweh Shua, in the correct rendering, cried aloud, whosoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him that sent me. So if you believe in the man, or the flesh, or the word made flesh, you believe in the one that sent him. Now, whosoever sees me sees him that sent me, John 12:44. Whosoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him that sent me, and whosoever sees me sees him that sent me. Now, isn't that wording sort of strange? I don't think so. Mark 9:37, listen to me as I read. The Messiah speaking again. Whosoever receives one such a child in my name welcomes me, or receives me. And whosoever receives me, or welcomes me, welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the great, marvelous mystery, the great revelation of understanding that God became a secret man and hid himself in a body of flesh. God Almighty, the Creator. Can you believe it? Can you actually comprehend the great and the marvelous revelation that I'm sharing with you tonight? This is the main thrust of oneness revelation before you'll ever have any peace of spirit or any truth of identity. You must understand that the Father was in the Son, the Word, the flesh man, hid and disguised with this ambiguous language of saying, whosoever sees me doesn't see me, but sees him that sent me. Philip said unto him, John 14:7, Lord, show us the Father. And in 9 he said, Philip, have you been so long with me, and yet thou hast not known me? He that sees me has seen the Father. Now, people wanting to place the Father upon an old-fashioned ivory throne sitting somewhere up in the mystical heavens of their understanding and believing that the Son came down here separate but inseparable from the Father. No wonder, because Christ himself, the God incarnate in flesh, by all three councils approved of the oneness message that Pastor Buddy's preaching, your church fathers, said, if they that profess that Christ and God and the Holy Spirit are separate beings, let them forever be anathema, or destroyed by the actual truth. Now, this truth is a stone of stumbling. This truth is a stone of rejection. They rejected the man that created the universe. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He is the Word. He is God the Son. Of Hebrews 1 and 10 that I read last week on part 1 of the Father. This is part 2. Mark 9:37. Whosoever receives me receives the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, if you understood when Philip was asking him to show him the Father, would you like to see the Father? Well, if you want to see the Father, you've got to see the incarnate physical reality of a body of flesh that now, according to the book of Colossians, we're going to go there, and we're going to discuss the book of Colossians in great detail tonight to bring about the understanding of the fullness of the Godhead. Was the one that we call Jesus in the English Bible, was he God? Was God a spirit? Did God literally incarnate into a flesh body called the Son and walk here and hide himself, but reveal himself to those who could see? The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was seen of angels. Oh my, they ministered to him when he was weary after a 40-day fast. Ladies and gentlemen, and that is a weary time. Trust me, I've been there. But I drank water. And at this fast, there was no water and no food for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the flesh man, who was a powerful extinction, if you will, of the Holy Eternal Spirit that was in complete submission. The Bible said him found himself, God found himself in the form of a man. And he humbled himself and created one of the greatest controversies of any religion upon the earth. And this is the only religion, ladies and gentlemen. Here is the astounding, absolute facts that this religion, called the Holy Bible religion, the one that we use to describe and to paint the picture of a God that came to earth through a woman, God incarnated into a flesh body. We are the only, this is the only Christian faith religion that preaches a God incarnate the rest of them believe that there were men, mortal men, prophets of some deity, Muhammad, Hindu religion, other Buddhists, other religions that are called religion in earth, and there's many, and even in Christian religious circles, there are many belief systems, but it's the only religion, bar none, that proclaims with authority and by the gospel of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, unto us a son is born. Well, everybody could go with that. All religions could say, oh yeah, Christ was a born individual, but he wasn't God. Let him be anathema, according to the church fathers. Let him be anathema. Anybody that tries to divide, separate, or confuse the design of God the Creator, who under his own liking and under the circumstance of great mystery became a human incarnate in flesh, and yet he was more than a man. As the prophet said, the God who created the universe and all things therein that has life and breath, whether it be for the benefit of the kingdom or for the benefit of the principles of trying those that get to the kingdom. Did you know that there are some people just created for the purpose of making your journey treacherous, and that you would receive persecution, that some men are given wisdom and scientific knowledge to deduct the faith walk, that God, it would be impossible for God to become a man because they see no scientific proof? Oh my, that's a average churchgoer would say simply that opinions vary from one Christian denomination to the next, and that it really doesn't matter. Or some religious pundits might attempt to answer the question based on their personal figuring or based on someone's scientific knowledge and deduct, as someone might choose, the answer to the question based on a personal desire or design of a creator in their own liking, as the scripture said, that they have changed his divine nature into a creature and worship the creature more than the Creator. Therefore, God, the Eternal Spirit, incarnate in a flesh body, when he said, you don't know me, where is your Father? They said, not understanding his language. Did you know that Christian spiritual beliefs are based on what they see and they hear? And Christ said, blessed are your eyes, for you do see me, and you do hear, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Mark. And the 35th verse, the common people saw it when he told them what the first commandment was. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The common people heard him gladly when he said, why then, if you think that I'm David's son, why did David call me Master and God? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you the facts. And the facts is John 12:44. Whosoever believes in the Father believes not in the Father, but in Christ. And whosoever believes in Christ believes not in Christ, but the Father. And whosoever sees Christ sees the Father, and whosoever sees the Father sees Christ. Because if you can understand that, then you'll understand who sent him. And they said, where is he? And he said, he's with me. Oh my. Colossians 1:15. He, Jesus in the New Testament, King James Bible, Yahweh Shua, Yahweh the flesh body, is the image of the invisible God. Read it. Colossians 1:15. I want you to go there and take a look, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this now. He is the image of the invisible God. God is a spirit. But the visible manifestation, remember, he that sees me sees the Father. The Father became a flesh being and spoke of himself in terms of the Son of Man. We all call him the Son of God, but he was literally God in the flesh. He himself designed, created, and orchestrated his birth on this wise of Matthew 1:23 and Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14, listen to me. Behold, the prophecy of Isaiah, the one that walked naked through the land, demonstrating his power, called and separated from the people of his own blood, to speak and cry aloud and spare not and lift up his voice against them, as he demonstrated the fact that as a prophet would be mistreated and not received, as walking naked, Christ, the eternal prophet, the God that created Isaiah, who prophesied that a virgin would conceive and his name would be called Emmanuel. And as we go into the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1:23, Matthew eloquently, very descriptive, very absolute, declared that Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel was indeed God, the Father, with us. And they rejected him. They hung him naked on a torture stake and cried, away with this demonic. The Colossians declared, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things in heaven, for in him, not out of him or of him, but in him. God was in Christ. In him, all things that were made in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. When Pilate said, what is truth? The man that was the invisible creation of the invisible made visible, standing there in a flesh body, very humble before a king who thought that he had power over him. And Christ said, you would have no power at all except that which has been given you. And the eternal spirit ordained and prophesied through the prophet Isaiah that they would pluck out his beard and beat his back, as it is indicated in Zechariah chapter 9 and Zechariah 14, that they would stare upon him whom they had pierced, as they plucked out his beard, drove the crown of mockery of thorns, because he proclaimed himself to be a king. Oh my! No wonder the early church fathers said, whosoever denies that God incarnated into a flesh body called the Son of the living God, let him be anathema. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. is himself before all things. Verse 17 of Colossians chapter 1. He himself is before all things. Let me reiterate that. He himself. Who? Not we, us, or them. Himself. Who is himself? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, please. You're just a mortal man. I saw you get hungry down there at the well. I saw you weep. When Lazarus was dead, I saw you show emotion. God don't cry, does he? The Father don't cry. He's not with you, is he? Show me plainly. When you see me, you've seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Do you believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He's before all things, and by him all things consist. He holds all things together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might come to have first place in everything, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Listen, oh my, the eternal spirit, it pleased him to have him bruised. It pleased him that he could take the punishment of kings and evil men, of corrupt creatured minds, natural brute beasts who would strip his raiment and mock him and chide him for being a little weakling as they smote him and said, hey, you saved others, get on down and save yourself, our big boy. You're dealing with the mighty Sanhedrin court now. We'll show you who's who. We know who God is, and you're not God. You just claimed to be God when he said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisaical, evil, corrupt-minded, carnal, creatures, Jews, who claim to be Jews, or mixed blood out of Satan. No wonder they hated the Son of God. No wonder they evil entreated him. No wonder that they impounded him in prison. No wonder they smote him and beat him with a cat of nine tails, 39 stripes, and ripped his flesh bare until Zechariah the prophet said, they will stare at my bones. Oh. When they took him down, Joseph of Arimathea begged the body from Pilate. And when they took him down, and no doubt when Joseph rolled him over and the crusty, dry, red blood from the gaping wounds of the cat of nine tails with the lead ignots that were knotted into the cat of nine tails, when he received brutally 39 stripes and was beaten to the point of death before the torture stake, he could barely walk from the interrogation and the rude and corrupt beast of Herod and his henchmen. Let his blood be upon us, they cried in disrespect to the King of the universe. No wonder he said he's coming, and every eye shall see him, even they which pierced him, and all of the people shall mourn because of him. He's before all things, and by him all things consist or are held together. He's the head of the body, which is the ecclesia, the body of Christ, not a church somewhere of a physical nature. but a real live being. Christ is in you. He's not in the church building of mortar and brick and stone. Matter of fact, he's never been in there. He had a chance to go into the one it took 46 years to build. There's not a church in the world today that took 46 years to build. And yet this church was despised of the man that created the universe. This place that they called a holy temple was nothing more than a rotten, corrupt den of thieves, of those who did not want the truth. And they still won't have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a church in the United States of America that I know of that could tolerate the truth in its fullness. He's the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might have preeminence, first place. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And in Colossians it says in the King James rendering, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the three councils declared emphatically that anybody that tried to separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to be anathema. For them to be corrupt and for them to be destroyed with the brightness of his coming, and they will be. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you believe that the Father dwells in me? Listen to me. The Messiah said unto him, have I been so long with you and you've not known me? Whosoever has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Was the church fathers that wrote the creeds of 325 A.D. and 459 and 519, were they correct in the oneness of the Godhead? And have we strayed? Have preachers crept in to divide the Godhead and create a creature? One God in one place and another God in another place, and one standing by next to each other, and they have created a creature, a three-headed monster of a trinity of the Godhead. Mark 12:29, when the Messiah said, the Lord our God is one. In verse 32, the scribe said unto him, well, Master, you have said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. None other but he. And that one God that wrote Deuteronomy 6 and 4 and Mark 12:29, that one God was there in a physical body that hungered and thirsted and wept, because he was a man in the flesh making himself God. John 10:31. For that reason, this mortal man, as they called him, this crybaby, this wine bibber, this friend of publicans and sinners, as they railed on him and cast these accusations in his face, as they beat him, because he had such a powerful testimony and so many people following him, they said, come, let us kill him and do away with this demonic demon that claims to be God in a flesh body. Well, Master, you have well said the scribe of John. And the scribe of Mark 12:29. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4. Written by the author and the finisher of our faith. He was God from the word go. Now I've got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. I have overstepped the bottom of the hour. I'll pause for station identification and I'll play you a song, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that Yahweh is the King of all kings and that he's coming back to receive a people that would believe on him? Get ready. He's coming. one, if Yahweh's in your heart, then that means he's a spirit. And if Christ is in you, you're his. For in Colossians 2 and 9 says, for in Christ, all of the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So then, God became a man. It was impossible for you to become God because of your erring, sinful nature. It was real possible. As Isaiah said in 9 and 6, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Hebrews 1 and 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his word, which was made flesh. And when you see him, the word, the incarnate, you will see him, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming back. He's going to sit on the throne of his glory, Matthew 25:31, and before him, all of the sons and daughters of the house of Israel will be gathered up, and they will give an account. And that name better be in your forehead. If you have a name of a pagan god, if you worshipped and adored and cried and praised Talmud or Baal or any name that seems appropriate today, there is a seem right way, ladies and gentlemen, and there is a name of blasphemy. Colossians 2 and 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider being equal with God as robbery. No. He made himself nothing. And that's all you are. But he took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, he humbled himself, being in the form of God. He humbled himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to me, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who perish. In their case, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. Blessed are those eyes that see what I'm talking tonight. Blessed are the ears of those that hear. John 5:41. The Messiah doing the speaking. I do not accept glory from human beings. Oh, they fought him for the fish and the loaves, and if he could raise the dead, oh, they would cry the mighty wondrous works. But when it came crucifixion time or crunch time, they all turned against him because they knew that God, if he would have been God, he could have called angels and delivered himself. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he could have done that. But he said, I don't accept glory from human beings. How can you believe when you accept glory one from another? See, Herod would have called lightning from heaven. Pilate would have called a legion of angels. But when you stand before the Creator that stood before them two, there will be exact mercy given. And you better have his name in your forehead, as it says. You better seek the glory that comes from one God, who alone is God. And then God was in the world, incarnate, as it says in John 1 and 1, the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Ladies and gentlemen, my time has come and gone. And it's went by so fast. I want you to write me tonight. If you'd like to have this series on the oneness of the Godhead, I have hours and hours on the name and the mystery of the Godhead. Great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. Read it for yourself. Great is the mystery of God was manifest in the flesh. And you've got to see this. It's very important for your eyes to be blessed to see the oneness. He that seeth me seeth not me, but him that sent me. Where is your Father? They cried. And he said, my Father, whom you say is your God, is with me. And they laughed him to scorn. Ladies and gentlemen, the denominations that are inordinate worshiping the separate, as they call him, yet inseparable, as they have misrepresented the essence or the being of the deity, they won't believe that he was God incarnate. They can't explain the nature of the deity of God becoming a man. And so, therefore, they brush it off, create a creature for the people to set there in their minds to behold an old gray-headed father and a son that was tortured and beaten. And they see two of them changing the Godhead into a corruptible creature, and they worship the creature rather than the Creator, who was in the beginning, before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the firstborn from the dead, the God that made everything. And as it says in the book of Revelations 1:17, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. Write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now, that's Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, and the zip is 37824. That's Pastor Buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that time is coming that you'll have to say, blessed be the name? Don't you know that our Creator is coming for a people that have acknowledged his name as the divine creator? Make that decision right now as I talk to you. Write me a letter, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or you can call me tonight. I'm live right here on July the 22nd on WWCR around the world. On July the 22nd. Area code 423-626-2172. And that's area code 423-626-2172. And if you will, send us a love offering to keep us on the radio. I need more radio time. Pray about that. That I could preach out these mysteries if I had 2 or 3 hours. I could really bring the evidence and the preponderance of the scriptures. And yet in an hour I bring more scriptures than anyone that I know of on radio. Why? Because I want you to see the mystery of the godliness of the Godhead. I want you to understand the things that are hidden from the eyes of the world and only revealed to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Won't you come? Won't you do that? Won't you sing? He's worthy to be praised. That's the man that came to you and walked in a flesh body, was evil and treated and misused and abused. But he's coming back not to ride a mule, not to be persecuted or mistreated. He's coming back, as Matthew 25:31 says, with all the holy angels. He's going to sit on his throne, and you're going to stand before him. Are you ready? If he don't come in the morning, look for him the next day. But he could come tonight. Your day could come. Your number could come up right tonight. And what are you going to do? When you stand before the king, if that name is not in your forehead, if you haven't worshipped and adored it, if you called on some strange name, if you've cried and shouted with the people of Baal, ladies and gentlemen, it's marvelous how they changed his name in the New Testament. You better wake up. Your enemy, the whore church of Revelation 17, has done you an injustice by giving you a name that seems right. And the man of mystery will see his name, as it says in Micah. You'll see his name. You'll understand the oneness of his Godhead. Write me. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or call me tonight. Give me a radio check and tell me how you enjoyed the program. At area code 423-626-2172. Many blessings, Jacob Israel. I'll see you next Sunday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWCR, with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call.